he was there last night, so I don't need to tell him that for the, I think the 63rd or 4th, maybe 5th time this year, the Blue Jays lost. So we got to get into Stroman, and we got to get into Brucky, and Sanchez pitches tonight, and Trent Thornton's elbow is inflamed, and the carousel of pitching continues. Hello, sir. What's up?
I like a nice dark start to the morning, Scotty. That's great. It's good to hear you.
Have you had your coffee yet?
Absolutely. I'm a morning person, which is a strange mix with being a baseball writer. You know, normally I peak mid-morning. By the time you see me at the ballpark, I'm already well into my decline.
Well, and your face usually is red enough that we know that some tears have fallen.
Oh, my God.
And that is...
Living in his own personal factory of sadness.
Yeah, yes.
Keegan, congratulations.
You know it. And I'm embracing it.
Okay. Because we have to discuss baseball at some point here while we have you on. And I feel like 90 seconds of not doing so is enough. Ryan Barucki, what did you see?
It was a guy who very clearly was making his first start of the year in late July. A little bit of control issues, which you're going to see with Barucki coming back. He said earlier in Detroit that the slider is a pitch that he's really going to have to work to get back, which is the case every year, but especially starting late. Thankfully, what the broadcast caught with some blood on the finger wasn't a blister or anything more serious, just a cut. So nothing to worry about there, but It was rusty, and it was a good first step for Barucki. He is a big part of the rotation, not just this year, but in the future. The Blue Jays need innings from somewhere, and Barucki can actually give quality innings, which puts him on a whole other tier, frankly, on this Blue Jays team. But a first start where he's healthy and made it through, I don't think we can care too much about the line just yet.
With this group, there's such thing as moral victories, though, right? Like, if Barucki's able to come back after a bone spur in his elbow, after cortisone shots, after missing 3 months, and have a great second half of the season, that's something, yes?
There really has to be, yeah. And when the Blue Jays or a rebuilding team like this are focused on next year or down the road, the wins and losses this year itself don't matter as much as they eventually will. So you do need to take those moral victories or things that will be part of future victories, however you want to label that. And having Barucki back is very important for this Blue Jays team. We've seen how they have looked for those number four, number five starters through this year. Haven't found a lot of answers. It's been Edwin Jackson at times. Jacob Wagspack's getting a time right now. So having Barucki as a solidifying guy who can pitch in the middle of that rotation, especially if Stroman is on the way out the door, especially if Sanchez continues to pitch like this, that's really valuable, not just on Barucki's days, but keeping that bullpen quiet and balancing things out where he can.
Keegan Matheson covers the Blue Jays for MLB.com. This is the starting lineup, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Keegan, I was wondering what your take is on, you know, Scotty talked a little bit about next year and that it could be another bleak year for the Jays and that this is all about development and the young core of prospects. What do you think about the importance of winning for this team, of trying to put a field the team next year that's actually competitive and not just saying all these games are about individual development, but actually starting to try to win games as a team? Is that important for the prospects?
It should be, and this is a conversation that you have a lot with minor league teams as well. Is there value, or how much value is there to winning a single-A championship, going to the double-A playoffs? What does that look like? And for these players, getting familiar with those big moments, it matters. You know, it matters to get familiar with the games where you're mixing and matching relievers late, not just throwing out whoever's left or whoever's turn it is. And the weight of those moments, the impact of those, it does matter. And getting involved in competitive games, even if it's just down the stretch this year, going late into games and fighting out series, that is a part of development. It's a difficult one to measure, just how much that impacts a young player, but it needs to happen. And until a young player is in those moments where the pressure is high, it's hard to know how they're going to react. And that's not a physical thing. It's usually a mental thing. Do they rise to the occasion, or some players are scared off a bit or shrink in that moment? So it's always important to see that before you get to the real competitive stage, kind of have a bit of a test run, if you will, in some of these years.
Keegan, we have dined on enough bad tacos in the meal room and discussed life enough for you to know that I am generally optimistic and cheery at all times and not at all a cynic. So Let's put it this way. The Blue Jays, per reports, are hoping for a return on Marcus Stroman similar to what Tampa Bay got for Chris Archer, which is a very good position player, a very good young pitcher, and potentially a third very good player. I would argue that Marcus Stroman is not regressing. I would argue, without certainty, but I believe an argument could be made that there is progression that is possible for him, and yet I have no confidence that the Blue Jays will get anything close for Stroman to what the Rays got for Pittsburgh. How do you see this playing out over the next 10 days?
It's going to be fascinating because so much will depend on the market. And is Stroman one of a couple great pitchers available? Is he the only one available? And I do agree with you that I think that Archer package is quite a high dream. And if the Blue Jays come close to that, that's a fantastic haul for them. And, you know, if they come close to a prospect package where the prospects also work out, that's a huge haul for them. But that is way on the top shelf, I think, that package, looking back at that. So the Blue Jays are going to be able to control this market, or should be able to, not just with Stroman, but with Giles. But when you add in that 1 year of team control with Stroman, the same goes for Giles. That will allow them to target a true top prospect, a guy that, you know, real hardcore baseball fans have heard of, or who will show up on those top 100s. But in terms of multiple or three or four of those guys, I'm not sure if that's quite realistic. It is, however, an opportunity for the Blue Jays to target real upside. We've seen in so many of these recent trades, Jay Happ's a good example with McKinney and Drury coming back. That was more focused on depth and immediate value. This is Toronto's opportunity to target actual upside, prospect upside. And it's risky, but they really need to connect on this one. This could be the deadline that you look back on 3 or 4 years from now and say that's where it started.
Keegan, we've all done some kind of trade simulator, right? Whether it's real life in terms of actual players that are on teams to see if money can work and term can work and value can work, and if fantasy sports potentially to see if a trade is going to be good enough long term with projected points. When you think about trades in Major League Baseball nowadays, analytics is obviously king, but how much do you think the finesse factor can influence deals so you can aka fleece someone or aka get a pirate's haul nowadays when everything is so dependent on numbers?
Yeah, this part of transactional baseball fascinates me now, actually, because everybody not only wants to win a trade, every team wants to be the smart team. Mm-hmm. You want to be that genius team. There's not going to be another Moneyball revolution anytime soon where one team is way out in front. But teams are scrambling and battling for that little edge. And everybody wants to be the team that finds the waiver wire guy or the 17-year-old guy in a trade who turns into a star. And there is so much information out there that most teams are pretty close. There are some teams lagging behind, but most teams have that data and are so advanced right now. And I think that does tighten things up to a certain extent. You hear so many great old stories about front offices sitting in a room with binders and paper and scouting reports. The gaps were so wide back then, and that must have been so fun to cover. But now those gaps have shrunk a little bit, and the rankings from team to team are very similar. So that kind of normalizes the price across the market, but it might take a little fun out of it, a little risk and a little mystery, because there's really not much mystery left. No matter who the Blue Jays trade for, 1 minute on the internet, you're going to know everything you need to know. That wasn't really the case a while ago. So I think things have tightened.
So it's not like you're going to be like, okay, if you throw in your number three pitching prospect from your farm system, I will get you around at Augusta. Like, you're not going to be able to sweeten the deal with GMs and stuff like that around the league.
I wish. I would love to cover those side deals. That would be fantastic.
You should definitely write a long form piece on that. I will gobble up every single word.